But Zach Cohen joins now, Bloomberg Government, State of the Union reporter. And we've been talking about this all morning, Zach, and I want to take a different angle here. And it could be like a Greg Giroux kind of angle. Or I'm thinking of Dave Wasserman over Cook Political Report. And the basic idea of all those people are sitting there, they're either going to a long dinner afterwards, or they've already been to a dinner beforehand, and they're sort of sleepy, and the cameras are on them, and they don't want to fall asleep. I would suggest, Zach Cohen, there are 18 GOP seats and 24 Democratic seats that aren't going to fall asleep, because those are the real campaigns that are out there in the House for 2024. How big a mystery to a pro like you is the path for the House and the Senate out to the next election?
Yeah, I think you're talking about the Democrats who won in districts that former President Trump carried in 2020, and the Republicans that likewise won districts that Joe Biden carried, the current president, in 2020. And so that's really the battle for the House right there, just in those couple of districts. Over the years, state legislatures and governors that have a control over redistricting have basically decided to narrow the playing field. So there's, even though there's 435 members of the House, only a couple of dozen are ever in really competitive races. And the fact that there are something like 70-something new House freshmen is more an indication of just the number of retirements that we saw, more senior lawmakers than anything else. It wasn't this massive flip in incumbents that lost re-election. So those really are the districts that are going to make or break this election.
And Zach knows, Critty, I set him up to give us the pro analysis of that. Because my real question, Zach, is will the President of the United States speak to those number of dozens of districts, or is he going to go polarity on us for the headlines?
So he's got sort of two missions here, right? One is, if he does run for re-election in 2024, he's got to maintain his supporter base and talk about all the things that, not just that they have done over the last 2 years, but what they want to accomplish over the next 2 years. But you've got a number of these, Democrats who are in really conservative districts that want to go home to their constituents and be able to say, look at all these things that we did, whether it's addressing insulin prices, for instance, or doing job growth legislation, whatever it might be. And so finding some bipartisan compromise, not just because the House is in Republican control, but because the Senate is still very narrowly divided, and the filibuster means that Senate Republicans can basically veto any legislation they want. So that bipartisan cooperation is going to be really important for Biden to lay out tonight if he hopes to get anything done, not just in the next few days, but over the next 2 years.
So that's the politics of right now. Let's talk about the politics of 2024. To what extent is this speech a dry run for his campaign message?
It certainly is an opportunity for him to speak to the country. It's a primetime audience. It's the first time he's done sort of a primetime address in quite some time. And as he sort of gears up for a potential 2024 bid, he's got a captive audience. It's, 534 members of the House and Senate who will be, applauding or maybe booing. And it'll be a way for him to sort of, float some trial balloons, talk about various things that, they have talked about over time that maybe they could use in a potential reelection pitch.
Do they listen to the level of applause? I mean, is there like a Zach Cohen applause meter when they trot out a trial balloon?
I think there's an applause button kind of they have on like SNL
Saturday night. Yeah, Zach has one, yes.
They've got those like focus group trackers, right? Like that's what we really need here at Bloomberg.
Perfect. I'm going to steal that from you for tomorrow morning. It's one big 534 person focus group, Critic.
There you go. It looks like the consensus here is that it's all going to be about the debt ceiling, the COVID emergency, and China. What surprises can we maybe brace ourselves for?
Yeah, I anticipate that Biden's not going to really deviate from what they've been saying, which is that they don't really want to negotiate on the debt ceiling. They think that any conversations about spending talks or fiscal reforms that Republicans have been talking about really need to be separate from the debt ceiling negotiation, which really needs to be resolved in the next few months. Otherwise, the U.S. Could default on its debt, which obviously would have catastrophic economic consequences. And so we might see some surprises. Maybe they float some new ideas that they haven't really said yet. They've been kind of tight-lipped about exactly what they're going to be discussing in tonight's speech. But I think the one thing we can certainly expect is it will go for quite some time. So as you said, Tom, any of the lawmakers who didn't have their dinner beforehand are going to be a little hungry by the time, you know, 10 o'clock rolls around.
Well, yeah, but I know, you know, like Zach Cohen's going to the Monocle, you know, afterwards. He's going out for like, it's like $200.
I'm sorry, the Monocle?
Whatever. It's like an appetizer. It's $200, you know, whatever. But, okay. You know, I get it's part of the Beltway Ballet. Zach Cohen, in your research, and you've been a great student of this, does anybody in Ohio or Oregon care?
Maybe, you know, it's, you know, 9 o'clock at night is what, Eastern time. And so I think, you know, they might be home from their jobs and ready to sit down and watch the speech, or they'll read it in the next day's paper. I think folks across the country are really looking for Washington to actually address the issues that matter to them. And one thing that you hear over and over again from folks is they care about the economy. They care about infrastructure. I assume Biden will talk about the jobs numbers that were better than expected. I assume he'll talk about the infrastructure bill that they passed and the implementation of that and actually, you know, shovel-ready projects that are starting to happen. I think that's why Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg was on all the Sunday shows over the weekend. It is the most physical and the most real impact that the administration has had. It's something people can see as they drive to work every day. And so if Biden is able to continue to make that case and say, we are making a difference in your life, which, you know, polling indicates folks haven't caught on to that message yet, this might be his opportunity to try to turn that around.
What's the Republican bounce back going to be? What is it, 22 minutes afterwards they do a speech? What's that going to be like?
Yeah, the current Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who folks might remember was the White House press secretary for the Trump administration, will give a response, as well as
Juan
Giuliani.
Father plays bass guitar. Yeah, I remember that.
Mike Huckabee, exactly. And then Juan Sciscomani is kind of a rising star in the Republican conference, will give a Spanish language response.
Come on, Zach, give me the dirt here. Sarah is giving the Republican follow-through, but Asa Hutchinson is one of 42 people running for office in her Republican Party. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the Arkansas dirt here? I mean, no one's listening in Little Rock. Help us out here. I mean, are they like on the same page?
I think it's a sort of an open secret that Asa Hutchinson, the former Arkansas governor, definitely wants to run for president. And I think he's probably going to make an announcement at some point, but he's going to have to be in the same lane as the Larry Hogans or the Adam Kissingers of the world, the folks that are ready to tell or trying to tell Republican voters, hey, let's move on from Trump. Whether that actually, you know, gets any traction is a different story entirely. But that is, there is a lane there since obviously Trump is running. You know, the pro-Trump lane is kind of limited to him. Whether lawmakers can kind of come through and say, well, here's what I like about Trump, but let's try this different alternative instead, whatever sort of prospective future they can offer, that's going to be the battle over, ahead of the caucuses.
Critty, I talked to Zach's people, and like, I want him on daily, but you think every other day would be too much of an intrusion on Mr. Cohen's schedule?
I don't know. The question
is encyclopedic.
Well, I think maybe we might be doing him a service. It's kind of like a way to get all the info out of his head and kind of dump it.
Great. Zach Cohen, that was brilliant. Thank you so much. Bloomberg Government Congress Reporter is the official title, but as you can see there, he's one of these inside the Beltway nerds folks that just does this all. He's like Greg Giroux. Mm-hmm. They just do it all day.
Yeah.
They do nothing else. But I mean, there's inside the Beltway, and then there's inside DuPont Circle. That's sort of where Zach is. I mean, he's that tight. That was brilliant.
It really was
a lot there.
Yeah.